What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. You guys, we have another incredible episode and interview in line for you today. Joining us as our Built Different guest today is my good and dear friend, Mr. Garrett Hedrick. Garrett is the Director of Communications here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, and he serves a major role for orchestrating all of our ministry events, such as our Ignite Men's Impact Weekend, our Extraordinary Women events, our AACC Mega National and World Conferences, and all the other events that we host all around the country on a yearly basis. Well, I'm so incredibly thankful to get the opportunity to work alongside of him. And I'm telling you guys, he's one of the most kind and just genuine people I've ever met. He's a great leader. And I think one of the reasons he's such a good leader is because he has such a passion for ensuring that other people feel seen, heard, safe, fought for, and loved. That's something I've always noticed about Garrett from the very beginning, and I'm incredibly thankful to know him. Truly, to know Garrett is to love Garrett. And I'm so incredibly thankful that he took the time to join us today on the podcast, but also, I know Brooke and I have such incredibly busy lives and schedules. Garrett will actually be doing some more co-hosting alongside of me, so you'll hear his voice, and I pray that you'll become familiar with it in the episodes to come. Such an incredible guy, like I said, such an incredible leader. But what we're going to get the opportunity to hear today is a lot about Garrett's testimony, about some of the things that he's had to struggle through and face throughout his life that have really pushed him closer to God in moments that I think sometimes were very painful. But it's amazing what God will do when we surrender to him and we're willing to give our stories over to him, the author of our story, ultimately allowing him to use our pain to serve greater purposes, to help push us toward the calling that God has placed upon our lives. A verse that Garrett mentions is Revelations 12:11, which says that we can become overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimonies. But I also am not naive enough to understand that some of you out there listening are very frustrated and maybe upset or discouraged or disappointed in the story that you feel like you've lived thus far. What I want to remind you today is that God is in the midst of your story, and your story is not done yet. If you have breath in your lungs, my friends, God is not done using you. You're never too far gone. You're never too far on the wayward path. God is a pursuer God. He is chasing after your heart, and all he wants is for you to turn back to him. Sometimes it just takes a 180. Sometimes it just takes you putting your foot in the ground and allowing God to use your pain and turning it into something very, very good. My friends, how I want to start today is just to read a couple verses over you. Maybe you do feel discouraged in your story, and maybe you do feel like your testimony doesn't matter, but my friends, it matters more than you know. So what I want to do is read some scripture over you that would hopefully breathe some life into you, and then we'll dive right into the interview and episode today. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." The last one, Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." My friends, you're never too far gone. God is going to use your story if you just allow him and invite him in. You guys, I hope you enjoy this incredible and powerful episode and enjoy listening to Garrett's testimony and how God has used some of the most difficult seasons and stories and experiences within his life to bring about a greater glory and purpose to honor and glorify the name of the Lord. My friends, help me welcome my coworker and my dear friend, Mr. Garrett Hedrick. Garrett, thank you so much for joining us today, bro.
Zach, it is a pleasure, man. I am thankful, I'm humbled, I'm honored, I'm excited.
Man, so excited for today's interview with you, just getting to sit down, hear more from your heart, but also to let you share your story with all of our listeners today, because I know it's one that's very impactful, and it's definitely influenced, I would say, my life for the better, so I'm incredibly thankful for you. I just want all the listeners to know up front, Garrett is a very close friend of mine, but also he's a coworker of mine, as we get the opportunity of working alongside each other at the American Association of Christian Counselors. So I've had the opportunity of interacting with, but also observing Garrett for quite some time from afar, but also up close and personal. And I just wanted people to understand up front how much I appreciate Garrett. He is so hardworking. He's just an incredible person, just in naturally. Some kind of characteristics I wrote down about him is that he's intentional, he's kind, he carries such a positive and encouraging energy about him. But one thing that has always stood out to me about you, G, is that you have a passion for ensuring that other people feel seen, they feel safe, they feel heard, they're fought for, and they're loved. And Garrett, you know, I think what's interesting is after knowing so much about your testimony personally and myself, I feel like a big reason you place such an emphasis on others and go out of your way for them in their times of need is because God and select people that he's placed within your life along your journey have been able to do that very same thing for you. So Garrett, as we begin, could you help our listeners understand a little more about you, your story, your upbringing, and how God has used tragedy for your good and for his glory throughout his story?
Those are all so nice. Just amazing things to say, man. I'm grateful. I appreciate it. But man, as you mentioned, like my story is one that starts with tragedy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just turned 28. And so looking back 28 years and seeing God's faithfulness and his hand and all my life, like I got to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
I was 24 days old when my birth mother died of a brain aneurysm. Mm. Infant, left alone to a single dad, my life, first 24 days, marked with tragedy and hurt and loss. And it's one of those weird things as I've gotten older where I don't necessarily know, I didn't know my mom, you know, I didn't know her, but you start to, I don't know, process and grieve. And like I said, you know, we start at the beginning and the beginning, it's marked with hurt and death. Mm. And, you know, to make a long story, a detailed story brief, you know, my dad left alone with me, working, had a mutual friend introduce him to a woman named Shelly. Mm. And Shelly enters the picture and becomes my babysitter. Right. And a few years later, ends up marrying my dad.
Wow.
And through their marriage, through their life, you know, I became an older brother. Mm. I've got siblings. But, you know, like the first early years of my life were marked with loss and hurt and confusion. And, you know, I've talked with you about my story. You know, one of the just biggest highlights of that is, you know, the first expression of God's love I saw at a very, very, very young age.
Right.
When Shelly, I call her mom.
Yeah.
She's mom to me now, entered my life and took me in as her son. Mm. And so, you know, like I said, it didn't get easier, you know, like every marriage, you know, my parents struggled and wrestled and that led to a lot of, you know, just family turmoil, internal turmoil, broken relationships between mom and dad and myself and my dad. And so, you know, my childhood was sort of marked with just some hurt. And you know, it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
But like I said, I just turned 28 and, you know, your birthday seasons, you start to reflect and look back and God's hand of faithfulness, provision, love, acceptance has been a huge part of my story and my journey.
Mm. I wanted everybody to know Garrett's birthday was November the 1st, so literally just happened last week. Big birthday shout out to this guy. But Garrett, man, I'm so incredibly thankful for you, and like I said, your vulnerability with your story.
Yeah.
It is one of pain and tragedy from the very beginning. But I think what you just shared about your mom, Shelly, right, and understanding that you may not have been her birth child, but to see how she accepted you and she welcomed you in with that warm embrace, it really reminds me of this like spirit of adoption that's brought up several times in and throughout scripture. Think of Galatians 4:4-8 or Romans 8:14-17. Both include this idea that like the love your mom Shelly has displayed for you, it's an amazing representation of the love Christ displayed for us when he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sins in order that we could receive this spirit of adoption and be welcomed into the family of God. But Garrett, there are a lot of people maybe out there listening today that have no idea, and they can't even fathom a love like this, right? A love that would drop and sacrifice everything to welcome somebody in with those open arms or with that warm embrace. And I think of especially people that they haven't had that exemplified for them here on earth. Like, how do we even make sense of something like this? So Garrett, what I want to ask you today is, can you just kind of speak into God's love for us and how he's constantly chasing after our hearts, wanting to remind us that we're never too far gone, and how he's able to use our pain or maybe our mistakes or maybe our past or our traumas and our wounds and within our stories, and how if we're simply willing to surrender and walk in obedience to him, he can turn those things into something good.
Right. You know, one of the first instances I mentioned of God's love was shown to me by Shelly.
Yeah.
And, you know, scripture is so clear. Jesus is so clear about the love of the Father when he talks about the story of the prodigal son. Mm. You know, God's love is so lavish. It's so amazing that a father was willing to give over the inheritance to a son.
Right.
Go do your thing, man, but I'm going to be here. I'm going to be waiting.
Mm.
And every day he waited for his son. His son spoiled things, left, you know, sort of cursed the family name. But
right.
But when he got to the bottom of the bottom, the end of his rope, essentially, he went back to his dad and just said, I'll be like a hired hand. And God's love, it doesn't just say like, no, you can come back and here's your lowly position because, you know, here are the consequences to your actions. You know, it's a lot like that story where he says, no, I you know, kill the fat calf, give him the robe, you put a ring on his finger, you know, he is my son is back, we're gonna celebrate. Like, God's love is so lavish, it's amazing. I think of, you know, scripture, you know, 1 John 4, you know, 9-11, but specifically 10, it's like, you know, it's not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be like the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. His love is so sacrificial. He gave something up for us. You know, I've experienced God's love through his image bearers, his imago Dei, his people. You know, like the people in my life have been a huge expression of God's love and how much he cares for us. Friends, family, you know, coworkers, you name it. Like, God's love is expressed in so many different ways, as I mentioned, through sort of the parental piece, the parental relationship.
That's
through
right.
through the, I don't know, the friends, the people that he places in our lives. And I'm thankful for all of that. You know, there's so many instances in scripture. I think of Lamentations where, you know, his love is so great. His mercies are new every day. His love is steadfast. It's so many instances throughout scripture where God is for us and not against us. And that's a huge marking of his love.
That's so good, G. Are there moments you would say throughout your life, like having been born into a family where maybe there was like obviously tragedy up front, and then there was maybe some familial dysfunction in throughout, do you feel like you ever questioned or doubted that love? Or when was it for you that like it just clicked? Like, man, there's something so much greater here with God.
Yeah, you know, like I think part of my story, and I talk about the dysfunction, there was redeeming and quality moments that happened throughout my time. And you know, you ask the question, like, you know, was there a moment where you doubted? Like, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, there were moments where, you know, I felt a disconnect with my dad. And and amazing today, like, my dad serves and loves the Lord, and he and I have a very amazing, close, deep, rich relationship. But even as a kid, like, you're like, man, like, I don't know. I went to church with my grandparents, my parents. You know, I did the church thing, and I really, there wasn't a moment that I truly felt like, God's love, God's sacrificial love, right, until I was about 15. I was in high school. I got invited by a group of friends. You talk about, you know, people loving and experiencing God's love through other people. Like, I had a group of people that surrounded me in middle school and high school, and just really just pursued after me, invited me to places, invited me to things, and they invited me to this youth event. And the speaker talked about this idea of like a call to die. And Jesus is called to die, and out of, you know, God's abundant and rich love, sent his son for us. And being someone who, you know, had the life circumstances that I've had, and, you know, wrestled with, you know, identity, and wrestled with like, who do I belong to? Because there's a natural disconnect because of the parental relationship there. There's a relational disconnect because of some of the turmoil and hardship that was happening at home. And God really intervened in my story by showing me his sacrificial love through his son, and that the story, the idea that Jesus shares in the Gospels, where he says, you know, you're called to lay down your life and take up your cross and follow me. And when I connected the piece of, you know, God's sacrificial love for me and him giving up his son for me, I put the other piece together and saying, my life then now needs to be a sacrifice to him, giving up myself as a sacrificial, you know, offering to him. It's the least I could do for how much love he's, you know, just expressed towards me.
So good, man. That is, I always think of the quote that said, you know, if Christ died for me, the least I could do then is live for him.
Right.
Also, when we talk about being too far gone, right, I think a lot of people maybe feel that. And you brought up the story of the prodigal son. I saw a quote the other day that said, Jesus is a much better savior than you are a sinner, right? You're not too lost for God to find. You're not too dirty for God to cleanse, too broken for God to fix. You're not too hurt for God to heal. You're not too far for God to reach. You're not too guilty for God to forgive. You're not too sinful for God to save. But there's still sometimes in life, right, G, we can proclaim these words. We can see them. We can even begin to believe them and proclaim them within our own hearts. But Satan would love nothing more than to just come in and cause turmoil and dysfunction within our mind. And I think working in the mental health space, it's evident, right, that the mind can be one of the greatest battlefields. And you personally understand that moments or events can quickly arise in life, right, that just don't make sense, leave you discouraged, afraid, uncertain, and just reaching for anything to numb or to anesthetize that pain. But when I think about kind of this mental space, a verse that comes to mind is 1 Peter 1:13. And I love the King James version of this verse specifically, which says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if someone girds up their loins, right, what it's meaning is that someone's preparing themselves mentally to deal with challenge and difficulty. Now, Garrett, how do you personally mentally prepare, right? Or as we've discussed, train yourself mentally for the trials that you're not yet in?
Right. I think one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is hope. You know, hope is the desire, the expectation that whatever is going to happen, there will be an end, or whatever you're desiring or wanting, it's going to happen. And so for me, in seasons of good, it's easy for me who is someone who has been in seasons of bad, struggled, wrestled with anxiety, depression, wrestled with, you know, shame and sin, like to lose hope. And for me to be in a good season, it's easy for me to kind of reflect back and think, you know, I think Margaret Feinberg talks about, you know, all the time, when the shoe's going to drop.
That's right.
I find myself in those places all the time. And so for me, like, how do I prepare for the difficulties that might come, or how have I gotten through the difficulties that have already happened? Man, hope has been the biggest thing for me. Finding the light at the end of the tunnel. It may be a long hallway, but let me tell you, God's love is shining such a great light at the end of that hallway that there's hope and a desire to know that, one, this season's going to end. But then within that hope, and like I mentioned, like desire, like there has to be a desire for me to take something out of this season. You know, you don't want to ever squander a season of suffering, because there are some rich, deep truths that God wants to show you. There's a deep richness within his presence that he wants to experience with you, to walk alongside you. And so, you know, there's this idea of hope. One, that I'm going to get through it. Two, that God has something for me that I need to get, and I need to, you know, learn and gain wisdom from. But then also, like, there's this idea that for me, when I think about, like, hope, I think about that verse in Romans where it talks about, you know, we glory in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance. Mm-hmm. Perseverance produces character. Character produces, what is it? Hope, right?
That's it.
It produces hope in us. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when I think about, man, how do I prepare? Mm-hmm. My game plan is I got to find a point of hope.
That's right.
And, you know, fuel myself with the desire of I got to get something out of this. Mm. And then in those moments of suffering, like I'm going to wrestle and I'm going to learn what I need to learn. I'm going to spend time with God where I need to spend time. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I know that those moments are also meant for other people. Mm. There are things and seasons that God calls us to. There are elements of our story that may seem difficult or hard in the moment or in the season, but God is using to orchestrate, yeah, one, the things that He's called us to do, mm-hmm, but also, as I mentioned, my story is marked with people who God just dropped in my path to help rescue me, to help give me a purpose. Mm. And for me, in dark seasons and hard seasons and good seasons, I know that when there are things I need to learn, it's for me, but then what do I need to do to help, you know, insert myself into someone else's story with the lessons I've learned to help them become, you know, a greater follower of Jesus, or even meet Him for the first time to experience that incredible love. So I find hope at the end of the day in all of it, that Jesus is with me and there's a purpose for it.
So good, G. Because as you're saying, there's so many people that may be going through something really, really dark or turbulent right now. And that season of life can at times feel very permanent, to where it's like, am I ever going to get out of this? We start to doubt that hope, right?
Right.
I think of Romans 8 too, that talks about a hopeful expectation. And Romans 8:28 specifically, for we know that all things will work together for the good of those who love God and who have been called according to His purpose. Or Philippians 1:6, right? He who began a good work in you will see it through to the day of completion of Christ Jesus. But there are times in life where we just don't feel that way, but it's the hope of knowing that God always has our best interest at heart, that He is going before us, right? That He is intervening for us, that He has already fought the fight and the battle has already been won. We already know the true answer. We know how this thing ends.
Right.
And so that's the beautiful thing about it. Our situation, our experiences, our external may not change, but God is transformational in that He turns it internal. He transforms hearts, right?
Right.
He helps renew the mind and He reshifts perspective. So God is definitely the hope, and hope is a person. And I love that you keep bringing up people fuel, right?
Yeah,
that God has dropped people in your life,
right,
and the significance and power of relationships. Because I think, obviously mentally, but I think relationally, breaking of relationships or even implanting insecurity within relationship is where Satan loves to kind of intervene and sneak his way in and think that he's going to get the best of us, if you would say.
Right.
And so when it comes to relational well-being, when we're hurt, when we're wounded, something that I always say, and so many in that kind of psychological space always say, is attachment wounds. When we get hurt in that space, natural tendency, pull away, disconnect, distance ourselves from the very thing that God created us for. I always say in the podcast, Genesis 2:18, the very first thing God said was not good was for man to be alone.
Right.
And so when we kind of enter into this place of isolation, it can be so scary, because Satan would love nothing more than for us to struggle in private or in darkness, because we're scared of exposing ourselves to the light, understanding that if we do, in a sense, we're giving ourselves up an opportunity, risking to be hurt all again or wounded again by the very people that are supposed to love us the most.
Right.
Right? So that's where a lot of people struggle with attachment. But gee, as Jenny Allen said, the weight that you're afraid to share with others is where the enemy has all his power over you. So in knowing this, to truly heal from the wounds that have weakened us, as one of the things that our Built Different piece is built around, we need to press into relationship in our times of need like never before. Garrett, how have you been able to press into a relationship with God, but also with community in your most difficult seasons, but also in the wounds you faced? How have you chosen to embrace this process of forgiveness?
Right. I'll start with God, I think, because it all leads into, and I think I've been hinting at this as we've been going, like, I love that verse in Genesis where he says, it's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing is when he is talking, he's talking in you know, the triune God, the Trinity version of himself, and saying, you know, let's create man in our image.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And God's not just saying that, you know, up in heaven all by himself, man. He's got Father, he's got Son and Holy Spirit living in community. And so, man, it's a part of God's original design for us to experience him in community. And so for me, the relational aspect, I have just experienced a deep, like rich love for his word. Because as I mentioned, it provides hope. It gives direction. It gives purpose. It gives clarity. It also gives rebuke when I need to be corrected, man. There are many times where my attitude, my heart, you know, how I think, the way I live needs to be corrected. And a lot of that has been, man, him pouring out his love for me, turning to him and spending quality time with him in his word, worship. Man, I love spending time with God in worship. Yeah. I love to sing to him. Like he is worthy of the praise.
Amen.
And so relational there, that's how I connect. I connect through the word. I connect through worship. I love praying with people as well.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you asked too, like, you know, relationally, aside from God, like I have been able to press into such deep relationships with my family over the years. And I thank God every day for answered prayer.
I
can't tell you how many times I spent nights praying for just my family, praying that God would heal and restore and redeem and renew and give us a story and a testimony that would reach people who are, one, far from God, two, feel like their marriage is too far gone, three, feels like their children are too far gone.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing God answer those prayers now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, my dad is a Christian, loves the Lord. My mom loves the Lord. And those two people are like my rock.
Yeah.
You know, it's no secret. I'm single. And like my closest, you know, like relational ties with my parents.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in hard times, like it's been so nice to see God answer prayer through them and seeing God restore them as people and how they impact me. My siblings, I'm so close to my siblings. We're all very different, but it's just been amazing to see God work in their lives and what they're doing and through their work and through just their life story. And then friends, man, like I would not be the person I am today. God's love is so amazing. You know, his provision is so amazing. I know without a shadow of a doubt that he draws us to himself through the mode of other people.
That's right.
Meaning like he will use your community to sharpen you, to encourage you, to rebuke you. And I've experienced all of those things in such a loving way. You know, it's, you know, very common, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
That's right.
You know, I could tell countless stories of people who have been there to fuel my dreams, who have been there to, you know, humble me in days when I need it.
Oh yeah.
And so, man, how I've been able to press in and move forward and just try to live the life that God has called me to live and walk in obedience. I've tried to, you know, really press into a solid, God loving, you know, like biblically sound community that also knows how to have a good time as well.
That's right. I love that, man. Like you're saying, community needs to be pursued not just for validation, but also for correction. People that will sharpen us, as Proverbs says, right? Andy Andrews says, maybe it's time we move past the, well, at least they accept me for who I am crowd, right? We need people that will help build us up and bring out the callings that God has actually bestowed upon our lives, because those are the people that really want the best for us. And I'm so thankful that what God has done when it comes to just his redeeming grace of just the relationships you've built with your parents, your family, God, but also with your friends. Yeah. Because I've seen your friend group, I know a lot of your friends, and they are incredible people. And I know you guys are so close.
Yeah.
And you guys need to stay that way. I think of friends in my life, how important just having those people to fall back on is. Right, Daniel 3, friends for the fire. But something that you just brought up, right, was you brought up this idea of singleness.
Yeah.
And I know that it's something you're very open about, but also something you're very passionate about, is helping others navigate through that maybe singleness season and really honoring God while in waiting seasons of our lives.
Right.
And so we've had several conversations on the matter, but something I've always appreciated about you is the joy and the contentment you possess while still experiencing a very real desire, right, of wanting someone to walk alongside of and to do life with,
right.
And that's normal. Mm-hmm. So Garrett, what are some words maybe of encouragement and wisdom that you've just discovered over and throughout your years that you have for our listeners today on how they can remain patient, how they can still find contentment, and how they can not settle for just comfort and complacency and convenience, right, during their times of waiting?
Right. I think it wasn't always that way. I didn't just wake up, you know, right. big tent.
Right.
It's been a season of wrestling. You know, mm-hmm. I think you go to college and, you know, you're dating and you're trying to find the one and, mm-hmm. you know, all your friends are getting married. And I've been in so many weddings. I've officiated weddings. I have DJed weddings.
Right.
And it gets to a point where I'm like, all right, God, this is old.
Mm.
And, you know, I got to a place finally where there were moments where God was saying, listen, there are elements of your story. There are elements of your past struggle and past hurts mm. that I want to heal.
Amen.
That I want to walk good. Alongside you with and see this healing journey take place mm. so that when I do bring that person into your life, that you're not a broken heap of mess, mm-hmm. you know, bleeding out and having someone else, you know, bandage you and, mm-hmm. and bring about some level of, you know, triage. Mm-hmm. But instead it's been a sweetness of me just really saying, all right, God, I'm gonna give up this, you know, struggle. I'm gonna give up this just desire over to you ultimately. Like yeah. the desire is good, but ultimately I need to surrender it to you, Lord, because right now in this season you're calling me to just walk closely with you. So I think you're asking me, like, to encourage people who are in that season of singleness, here's how to walk in obedience. Surround yourself with a group of godly people mm. who can sharpen you and hold you accountable. Yeah. Because we've talked about it all interview. The enemy wants nothing more than to get you alone and to get you isolated.
Yep.
Just because I'm single doesn't mean I can't have a great,
That's
thriving
right.
community.
That's right.
You know, I think another thing is, you got to know what you're called to and called for. And yeah. so for me, like, I know in this moment, mm. God is calling me to reach other singles, to reach other people, young professionals, even those who are married or in relationships as well, and study God's word together. Mm. And so, you know, if you're someone who's single and you're listening and you're asking God, like, when are you going to bring that person? Like, I want to encourage you. Okay, it's great to pray, God, will you bring me that person? Mm. But in the waiting, don't get idle. Don't get complacent.
That's right.
Like, operate in the things that God has called you to, because who knows, in what you're doing, God could invite someone into that space that you meet. And I don't know, man. I'm in this season, you know, far greater than it has ever been in the past of I'm trusting God. Hmm. You know, I had a conversation with a friend, Brooke, recently, who was asking me, Garrett, like, what's your type? Like, what are you into? I'm going to set you up on a date. And I just had this moment, like, we were headed to, like, you know, get some dinner with some friends, and it was like one of the, like, most reassuring moments where I just, like, I felt God's presence and I felt his word just sort of, like, surround my heart. I know that might sound crazy yeah. to some,
yeah.
but it was just like, Brooke, I'm so thankful for you wanting to set me up, and I desire those things. Mm. I'm just in this really weird season where God is still working through and still healing, and I do know I'm in a place, you know, now better than ever to venture into that season. And so,
yeah.
like I said, in singleness, like, I'm on a tangent, I'm on a ramble, but, like, really just focus in on your community,
mm-hmm.
focus in on the people that God has around you to hold you accountable, to see you through this season, yeah. however long it may be.
Yeah.
And don't become complacent and don't become idle, because, like, ultimately marriage is not the thing God's called you to ultimately.
Right.
Like, there are things that he has you designed to do to help build his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is one of those amazing gifts, in my opinion,
for sure,
that God allows you as a tool to help continue to push forward and build his kingdom together, co-laborers
yep.
for the gospel.
Yep.
And so as of right now, I'm working, I'm plowing the field, because mm-hmm. I know, listen, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. And yep. so I want to be a good, faithful steward, a good worker, and knowing and believing, like, in my season of contentment and resting in him, and just full surrender of this desire to be in a relationship, that he's going to bring the right person to me, mm-hmm. Who also is laboring and you know, is, you know, doing the work of building God's kingdom.
Mm. It's powerful, G. Don't waste your wait.
Mm-hmm.
I think often it kind of is symbolic of, like, doing the work in the hallway, right, while you're waiting for God to just bust doors down, because he will. If you're obedient to him, right, he will make it clear. He will give you that peace that surpasses all understanding, right, to pursue, to go a certain direction. He'll do it for you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. If we're walking in attunement with him, and if
right.
we're really, like you're saying, plowing the fields each and every day, knowing that we're putting in the work, allowing God to lead us. Gee, I'm so thankful for you. As I said, I'm just thankful for your willingness to be on the podcast. One thing that a lot of our listeners need to hear is that Garrett's going to be co-hosting a ton of the episodes moving forward with me, which I'm so stoked about.
Yes, sir.
So thankful for that, G.
Awesome.
But just how we always kind of close the podcast up is I love leaving the door open for the guests, right? You're the guest today to just be able to share something that God has placed on your heart, maybe something he's been teaching you recently in and throughout the season for such a time as this, that would hopefully spark some hope, encouragement, and motivation in the lives of our listeners to live a built different life from the inside out. Garrett, what do you have for us today?
Right. I think back to this idea of our stories.
Yeah.
And knowing that each and every single one of us have a story that God is writing in and through us. And, you know, I think of Revelation 12, verse 11, where, you know, it says, and they overcame him, meaning the enemy,
yeah,
the evil one, by the blood of the Lamb,
yeah,
and the word of their testimony. And so for me, I think the encouragement is, no matter how dark, how hurtful, how just uncertain your story may be, like, you're going to overcome because of God's lavish sacrificial love. The blood of the Lamb, his son, and then the word of your testimony, the story that God is writing in you. I have, in my lifetime, man, countless moments where I was so confused and so just caught off guard as to what was going on in that season of life because of you know, chaos and hurt and broken relationships. I couldn't figure out why this would happen to someone. But as I've walked with God closer, and as I've walked out of those seasons and walked into new seasons, I've learned that it's, as I mentioned, it's for other people. So I've experienced so much of the hurt and so much of the pain, knowing that there are people who are far from God that need to hear that story so that they come home and come closer to him. You know, there's a proverb that talks about, like, a word, you know, properly spoken at the right time is like apples of gold on plates of silver.
Yep.
You know, your story told at the right time to the right person can be a gift, a lavish, a luxury of sorts. And so, I don't know, to encourage anyone listening today, I don't care where you've been, what you've done, what your story, how it reads. I love the song with, it's Big Daddy Weave.
Yep.
And I'm blanking on her name, but it's God is in this story.
Yes.
And I love that song because she is singing and Big Daddy Weave is singing, and they're saying, like, if it reads like addiction, if it reads like disease, if it reads of broken hearts, like, it doesn't matter. God's in the story and he wants to use it. And so my encouragement for anyone today is, doesn't matter how far you've walked, doesn't matter what you've been through, your story is powerful and God wants to use it today. You're going to overcome by his blood and the word of your testimony.
And when you realize how much he loves us, that he is a pursuer God, that the victory has already been won. I think the word that came to my mind as you were just sharing was unashamed. You can start living that life of being unashamed, not only of the gospel, but of your story.
Yeah.
It's already been redeemed.
It has been. And Zach, I think I want to, like, close this way too. Like I talked a lot about the familial piece, the relationship with the family. Your family, your relationship with them is not too far broken.
That's right.
You know, there's room for healing there. And if I can share anything, like, it's God wants to use the relationships closest to you to either showcase his love or for you to receive his love. And so, man, like, for me, I had to learn forgiveness. I had to receive forgiveness as well, because I hurt people.
Yeah.
But then also I had to show love and receive love. And as I mentioned, man, like, the story that God is writing through my family, through relationships, it's one I am thankful for, and know that it is going to be an overcoming story.
Keep being obedient and keep being willing to hand the pen over to the author. Garrett, thank you so much, brother, for just joining us today on the podcast. Thanks for your willingness. Thanks for your friendship and all that you do truly to help others, including myself, feel seen, feel safe, feel heard, understood, fought for, and loved. I appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Man, everybody, what an incredible episode with my good friend, Mr. Garrett. I'm telling you, it's so fun just being able to sit down with him and to hear more about his story, but also just to see more about his heart and who God has created him to be. He truly does have a passion for ensuring that other people are seen and heard and cared for and loved and pursued. And I'm so incredibly thankful for his leadership in and throughout the office and organization. He's just an incredible leader, and he's a great and dear friend of mine, and I'll forever be thankful for that friendship and this relationship. Garrett, I'm telling you, thank you so much for your willingness to join us on the show, brother. Incredibly thankful for that. But as I mentioned in the intro, I think a common theme that I already talked about was that your story and your testimony matters. Yes, you may be frustrated and discouraged with how things are going in this present moment. You may feel like you're suffering. You may feel like that suffering feels permanent, or this wandering or desert-like season or waiting season feels permanent. But my friends, God is in the midst of your pain, and he wants to turn your pain into your greatest purpose and push you toward your greatest callings that he has bestowed upon your life. So don't ever feel too far gone. Don't ever feel like you're too far on the wayward path, or that you've done too much and that you're unwilling or not allowed to accept the goodness and the grace of God. Because my friends, all it takes is that willing heart. All it takes is surrendering it over to him, your story, because he is a good, good father, and he is the greatest author of them all. If you have breath in your lungs, my friends, he is not done with you. He's not done using you. And your story and your testimony matters. He will ultimately bring great purpose and honor and glory to his name in the midst of your pain and suffering, if you so allow him to. My prayer is that, one, you would do that first and foremost. But number two, I think another theme that came up was the power and significance of relationships in and throughout our journeys throughout life. My friends, I often say that we have friends for the fire. That's a passage that, or just a theme that I found in Daniel chapter 3 when we talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were going through a very painful season of life, but thankfully they had each other to lean on. From the very beginning, as I mentioned in the episode in Genesis 2:18, it was the first thing that God said was not good was for man to be alone. God ultimately wants us to be in relationship with him, the triune God. But I also think that he gives people and places people in our lives to help push us closer to him, and to really help us weather some of the storms that we experience in life, that help sharpen us, that help just push us, but also help encourage us and help build us up and uplift us in the midst of our most difficult seasons. Garrett mentioned several of those people in his life, and he's so incredibly thankful for those. And I'm also so incredibly thankful for the people that God has placed in my life that have helped me push through some of the deepest and darkest waters that I've had to endure. But my friends, my question for you today is, who are the people in your circle? Who do you allow in? Who do you allow to pour into you? Who is there for you, pushing you, but also helping you and encouraging you in the midst of this deep and dark and difficult season that you may be going through and enduring today? You need somebody. Somebody has to champion you. And my prayer is that you would, one, if you don't have anybody, that you would find those people. But two, if you do have those people and maybe you've neglected them because you just have felt like isolating the season of life, my prayer is that you would push into those relationships like never before, understanding that relationships are really pivotal in helping push us, yes, closer to God, but also helping us overcome. Share your story with people. Help them understand who your God is. In the midst of your suffering, we still serve a faithful Father. My friends, press into relationships today. They matter, and your story matters more than you could ever possibly know. As always, my friends, thank you guys so, so much for joining us, and we cannot wait to see you next time on the Built Different Podcast.